Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. The tax deadline is approaching. Take a small action for your future and talk to your financial broker about a Zurich pension.
Now, the Israeli Defence Minister Yoav Gallant has ordered a complete siege on Gaza as the military pounded the Palestinian enclave with airstrikes in the last 24 hours. Electricity, food, water and gas supplies have been cut off, while the Israeli army said it hit more than 500 targets in the blockaded and impoverished Gaza during overnight clashes, while fighting persisted in locations inside Israel. This all comes 2 days after Hamas launched a barrage of rockets and sent a wave of fighters who gunned down civilians and took at least 100 hostages in a massive attack that took Israel by surprise. Well, in a few moments we'll be speaking to Sinn Féin spokesperson on foreign affairs and defence, Matt Carthy. But before that, we're joined by Alan Shatter, expert on Israel and the Middle East and former Minister for Justice and Defence. And Alan Shatter, you're welcome to the programme. Speaking this morning about Saturday's events, Lieutenant Colonel Jonathan Conricus, who's a spokesman for the Israel Defence Forces, said that this is by far the worst day in Israeli history and that never before have so many Israelis been killed by one single thing on one day. Can I get your reaction, please, to what has happened?
Well, this is Israel's 9/11. What happened on Saturday was is best described as a horrific, barbaric atrocity. Over 700 people we know died on the Saturday. We now know there's over 800 Israeli casualties. This is reminiscent of the atrocities of Nazi Germany and pogroms of past centuries. And the unbelievable atrocity of what occurred at a music rave. I mean, I live only up the road from Marley Park. We have thousands of young people every year going there to a concert. Here you had young Israelis getting on with life, upsetting no one, interfering with no one. 260 were slaughtered at this music rave. Many others were injured. There's reports of young women being raped. And some of those at that concert have now been kidnapped and disappeared into Gaza. The enormity of this atrocity, I think, isn't yet fully appreciated. We were all outraged in 2015 at what happened in the Bataclan in Paris. This is three times worse than that in the context of the numbers of young people who have died. So there's no excuse for what has happened. It should confirm to anyone who doubted it that Hamas is just the Palestinian version of ISIS or Al-Qaeda. They engage in barbarity. What they're doing is of no benefit to Palestinians. They're intent on murdering Jews. Their leader has called for the global murder of Jews. And they're of no help to Palestinians. Mm. They brought death and destruction to Gaza. It is completely unnecessary. Israel now has, I believe, no choice but to completely dismantle the terrorist military machine that Hamas has in Gaza, and that indeed of its Islamic Jihad allies, both of whom are sponsored by Iran.
So what do you think then about how Israel intends to go about doing that, trying to dismantle the Hamas terrorist regime in Gaza, and those comments from Israeli Defence Minister Yoav Gallant that he has ordered a complete siege on the Gaza Strip, that there'll be no electricity, no food, no fuel. He said everything is closed, we're fighting human animals and we will act accordingly. Now, of course, half the population there are children.
Look, the tragedy is none of this is necessary. Israel moved out of Gaza in 2005. There's been billions of dollars put into Gaza. Gaza today should be a wonderful, prosperous part of a Palestinian society. You and I should be going to Gaza to their wonderful beaches and holidays. Instead, they've used the billions to invest in armaments, to fire thousands of rockets. This is the fifth occasion Hamas has been firing rockets into Israel, and to build tunnels. They haven't even built protection for their own population that is used, unfortunately, as human shields. I think, sadly and tragically, the Israelis have no choice but to engage in ground warfare. I don't think they can, and I don't think we politically tolerate it within Israel, to be left in a position whereby this type of event will be repeated endlessly. I think they have an obligation to defend their own citizens, to defend Israeli democracy, to defend all of every religion who live in Israel. And Tragically, yes, there are going to be substantial casualties on both sides. I wish that wasn't the case.
Yeah, but there are choices, Alan Shatter, aren't there? You're saying there is no choice but to defend. And I think a lot of people, including the EU, have said that Israel has the right to defend itself. But is this what that is about? A complete siege on the Gaza Strip with no electricity, no food, no fuel, where 2 million people are trapped in what has been described by the UN as an open-air prison, and half of those people are children. Is that defence?
The open-air prison that Gaza is a prison created by Hamas, a fundamentalist Islamic organisation. It rules Gaza with an iron fist to the detriment of Palestinians, and there's no country in the world that would tolerate basically an invasion of barbaric terrorists who mow down men, women and children, who indiscriminately fire rockets into that country. They have no choice. I know many of the senior Israeli politicians. There isn't an Israeli politician on the right or the left of Israeli politics that I know of who actually wants Israeli forces to go back into Gaza. No one wants to reoccupy Gaza. But I don't see how else they can deal with this. And of course, none of this really is about Palestinians.
But before they start doing that, you know, Benjamin Netanyahu warned people in the Gaza Strip to get out. They can't. Should there be a humanitarian corridor set up for civilians, for women, for children who are not involved in the fighting, for innocents?
The reality is that Hamas gave no thought to slaughtering Israeli men, women and children, taking grandmothers into Gaza, raping women. I don't believe the Israelis have a choice, but I do believe this is inspired by
Iran. Sorry, I'm going to stop
Iran.
You there for a second, just in terms of that comment that you made, okay? Because I don't know what equivalence you're trying to make there. Is it that because Hamas did what they did, then that the innocent people living in Gaza must put up with the consequences?
No, that's a completely wrong presentation, I'm afraid. There's no equivalence of any description. The Israeli state has a right to defend itself against Hamas. Hamas is embedded in Gaza. The only way it can defend itself against Hamas and bring an end to these repetitive barbaric atrocities, unfortunately, is by going to war. There's no alternative. There isn't a simple solution. This is not a good solution. It's the least worst alternative to the continued barbarism to which Israelis are subjected. But just let me say one very important thing. This isn't ultimately what Hamas is doing about Palestinians. This is an Iranian agenda to disrupt the peace process between the Israelis and the Saudis, to disrupt the Abraham Accords, which have resulted in growing friendship and economic and personal relationships between the State of Israel, the United Arab Emirates, Bahrain, and Morocco. This is designed to take Palestinian society back into the past, when what should be happening what we should be calling for is an end to this type of barbarism by Hamas, an end to Hamas ruling Gaza with an iron fist.
But should there not be also calls, Alan Shatter, for an end to barbarism from Israel? Should there not be calls from you and others today for restraint?
In that narrative, and I know you have to put these questions to me, in that narrative, basically what should happen is Israelis should be the victims of barbarism, rape, abduction, and they should restrain themselves and do nothing. They should simply sit back and say, oh dear, we're the victims. Now, Israelis of every religion, Jews through the centuries, have been the victims of pogroms, were the victims of the Holocaust.
And I don't think anyone calling for restraint is suggesting that nothing should be done, because if people were suggesting nothing should be done, that's what they'd say.
You tell me what Israelis should do in these circumstances.
Well, I think the calls for restraint.
No, you tell me what restraint means.
This is...
If we're going to have this...
This is a conflict, Andrew, that's been going on for 5 decades. I certainly don't have the answers. All I'm saying to you is that when there are calls for restraint, I suspect people are referring to this idea, what we're hearing from Israeli Defence Minister today, about a complete siege on the Gaza Strip where 50% of the population are children and they can't get out. That's what people are calling for restraint
you are unable to tell me what restraint means. And this conflict tragically has been going on for so long because of organizations like Hamas that have no interest in the peace process, that are dedicated to the destruction of Israel, the call for the worldwide extermination of Jews, yeah, that are basically at war with Fatah.
Could
and
I
President
suggest
Abbas
to you that restraint is not indiscriminately killing children? That's restraint.
Oh, no.
It's not bombing
yes.
indiscriminately on the Gaza Strip, where 50% of the population are children and they can't get out. That's restraint.
Well, what Hamas is counting on is that they can fire their rockets from populated areas, from beside schools, from beside homes, and that the Israelis will not retaliate. And what they want, and I hope it happens as little as is possible in these dreadful circumstances, what Hamas wants, tragically, is Palestinians to die so they can use them in a political campaign. This is a death cult. This isn't about any group that wants to resolve a conflict. This is a group recognized throughout the European Union as a group of terrorists. They're no different to ISIS. They're no different to Al-Qaeda. They are fundamentalist Islamic terrorists sponsored by Iran, encouraged by Iran, aligned with Islamic Jihad. Their only purpose okay. is to eliminate the Jewish state
finally,
and murder both Israelis and Jewish people.
Can I ask you finally about the role of Benjamin Netanyahu in all of this? Because I have seen quite a bit of commentary, for example, David Leonhardt in the New York Times today, but he and others are saying similar things, which is that Netanyahu, while he didn't start this war, Hamas quite clearly started this new part of the war. They've committed shocking human rights violations this past weekend. No one is trying to justify any of that. But David Leonhardt is saying his extremism, Netanyahu's extremism, has contributed to the turmoil between Israel and Palestinian groups like Hamas. And he pointed to an editorial in Haaretz, which is an Israeli newspaper. I think it was published on Saturday, I think, or Sunday. And that editorial said, the Prime Minister, who has prided himself on his vast political experience and irreplaceable wisdom in security matters, completely failed to identify the dangers he was consciously leading Israel into when establishing a government of annexation and dispossession, because he adopted a foreign policy that openly ignored the existence and rights of Palestinians. I just wonder what you think of those points that are being made.
Personally, I would have a lot of disagreements with the policies of the Netanyahu government. I've been in Israel speaking against some of those policies. But anything that that government did does not justify the barbarism of Hamas terrorists shooting dead 260 young people at a rave. Doesn't justify the rape of women. Doesn't justify Hamas as an organization, or create Hamas as an organization that's dedicated to violence, mayhem, and to the extermination of the Israeli state. And it is not Netanyahu's fault, or indeed any Israeli politician's fault, that the Palestinians themselves, which we like to ignore in Ireland, are entirely divided, that there's two separate Palestinian entities, one in Gaza, ruled by Hamas, the second on the West Bank, ruled by President Abbas and Fatah, both of whom are at war with each other,
yes,
who cannot agree how to resolve the conflict. And one of the problems and one of the reasons why Israelis have
right.
a more extreme government at the moment than ever in the past is because of Palestinian division, and violence has
right.
driven many Israeli voters to vote for right-wing politicians.
And Shatter, we'll leave it there, and thank you very much for joining us this evening. We also have Matt Carthy, Sinn Féin TD and spokesperson on foreign affairs and defence, on the line. And Matt, your response to everything that we've seen over the last 48 hours?
Well, I think it would be very difficult to be anything other than incredibly depressed by where we are now. Clearly, the issues in pertaining to the Palestinian people, to the ongoing occupation and apartheid regime that is the daily lives for many Palestinians, is the backdrop to what we saw, which was an unjustified killing of civilians by Hamas at the weekend. And I think we need to bring all this entire discussion back and from an international framework point of view to international law, to the upholding of the UN Charter, to ensuring that we have a basis to move forward. And clearly Hamas breached and broke international law through their actions on Saturday. But the truth is also that the Israeli government breaches international law every single day. And until we get to the point where the international community actually bring the debate and the discussion back to the primacy of the UN Charter to basic fundamental human rights, well, then I fear that we could be in a situation where last Saturday marks a tipping point and an escalation of the crisis, which will only lead to a worsening of the daily and lived realities, particularly of the Palestinian people.
There's been quite a bit of discussion over the past 48 hours about Sinn Féin's own position when it comes to all of this. Now, I know your leader, Mary Lou McDonald, was speaking to Brian Dobson on the News at One earlier, and she has condemned the attacks. But she was asked specifically about a tweet from your colleague, Chris Andrews, Sinn Féin TD, in which he was responding to condemnation of the attack by Ursula von der Leyen. He said, it seems that according to the EU, only Palestine has the right to defend has no right to defend itself against murder, torture and apartheid. I wonder, do you stand by that colleague from by that tweet from your party colleague?
I think there's been some game playing and some attempt to try and create to create stories that aren't there. I issued a statement on behalf of Sinn Féin on Saturday where I made it absolutely clear that there is no justification for the killings of civilians on any side, and that is the stated and firm position of all of ours. I think Chris Andrews' position was in response to what some within the international community, including Ursula von der Leyen, did in response, which was to give an unequivocal statement which basically says Israel has the right to defend itself. Now, we've just heard from one apologist for Israel, and we know what that means when international leaders give and say statements like that. What it leads to is remarks such as we saw from the Israeli defence minister, where he outlined that Israel intends to put in place a complete siege on Gaza.
Yes, I discussed that with Alan Shatter. No, and I discussed that at length with Alan Shatter. But I just want to be clear on exactly what Sinn Féin's position is in relation to that Chris Andrews tweet. Only Palestine has no right to defend itself against murder, torture, and apartheid. Is it Sinn Féin's position that that is what Hamas was doing, defending itself, and that that is what Palestine was doing via Hamas?
No, and I think it's quite clear from everything that we have said.
So should he withdraw that tweet, just to be clear? Has he spoken out of line, or that's not the Sinn Féin position?
The Sinn Féin position is that there is no justification for the killing of civilians on any side. Okay. That is the clear, unambiguous position that I know Chris Andrews, who has a very long-standing record in relation to working with Palestinian civic society. He has been to Gaza. He understands the live reality. And I find it ironic, I have to say, when Alan Shatter talks about people should be visiting Gaza. I'm one of those people who in 2014 tried to visit Gaza. I was on an official European Parliament delegation, and the Israeli government wouldn't allow us in because they have been maintaining a blockade of Gaza since 2007. And we have to look at the efforts that have been made by many to try and resolve issues peacefully. In 2010, you'll recall that civic society organisations internationally tried to organise a flotilla, bring in emergency humanitarian aid into Gaza. The response from the Israeli regime was to murder 10 of them. In 2018, thousands of Palestinians actually in peaceful demonstration actually walked along the barriers of the Gaza Strip. The Israeli response was to murder over 200 of them. So if we don't create a peaceful pathway to resolve the conflict, well, then it is only going to continue, and the daily lived realities of both Israelis and Palestinians is going to be impacted severely by it. And what we have to do is start from...
So how do we move in that direction, McCarthy? Because I wonder, do you think that as well as obviously inflicting pain and death on the Israeli people over the weekend and before, is Hamas and has Hamas seriously harmed the Palestinian cause?
Oh, I think the actions on Saturday inevitably led, unfortunately, because of the nature of the Israeli regime, to what we have seen this week. And as I say, the utterances of the defence minister, to my mind, should ring alarm bells with world leaders, because what is going to be the result of that is going to be absolute devastation from people who have been living, as you said earlier on, in an open-air prison. We have seen, and Alan Shatter again made the distinction between the Hamas-controlled Gaza and the Palestinian Authority in the West Bank. Israel continues to build illegal settlements, making it virtually impossible for the West Bank to operate as a singular unit, and in many respects is actually driving move towards towards the extremes. There is a role for the international...
So would you be calling on Hamas at this point to step down?
What I would be calling in the first instance is for the international community to actually show decisive leadership. And that leadership
must
be based on...
Hamas lay down its arms?
What I have called for all sides to cease their violent activity. All acts of violence must end immediately. International law must finally be respected and enforced. And what that means is that the international community cannot continue to give impunity to Israel to continue their actions, because what their actions amount to is apartheid, occupation and annexation, all of which are illegal under international law. And unless and until we get to the point where the world says stop, then clearly Israel will not stop, and we will not see the development of a peace process that can actually lead to a lasting settlement.
Just finally then, we saw the EU earlier today saying that they're going to pause, I think it's the European Commission, actually pause funding to Palestine while projects are put under review. What's your reaction to that?
I think that is an entirely cynical and unhelpful move. My understanding is that it was a unilateral position of a commissioner. I hope and expect that the Irish government and many others will strongly oppose such a move. The suggestion that the answer to this in any way lies with removing development aid to Palestine, to me, is bonkers, but as I say, utterly cynical. We have had situations in the past where Israel has bombed EU-funded schools in the Palestinian territory, and the EU didn't even look for their money back. To suggest that they would now remove vital development aid to the Palestinian people,
there are concerns, of course, that some of that aid is being used to fund Hamas, fund terrorists.
I don't believe there's been any evidence of that, and I think what we have seen, though, internationally, is a preferential relationship between both the EU and other major players globally with the Israeli regime, with absolutely no conditions attached. And again, that, to my mind, is actually leading to the crisis that we are at now. And I would describe
this
as a crisis that needs to be resolved.
Thank you very much for joining us. That's Matt Carthy of Sinn Féin. And we will be returning to this issue again later in the programme.